This special edition in-depth program on the men and women who serve our country in the military is brought to you in part by Central College, Cargill Corn Milling in Eddyville, Dowie Pest Control, Country Acres Landscaping, and Two Rivers Cooperative. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you'd like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Goulet Heating and Cooling, Hyatt Painting, Marion County Public Health Department, Don's Heating and Cooling, and Hewitt Service Center. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
When the Iraqi army invaded Kuwait and we intervened, one local man was in basic training and ready to be deployed. What's his story? Let's go in depth with Craig Ford with Pelham Motors.
So, Craig, what branch of the service were you in?
I was in the U.S. Army.
And when were you in?
I got in August of 1990.
1990. Okay, now, let's see. Was that Desert Storm? What was
that?
I
think Iraq just invaded Kuwait at that time, because all through basic, that's what it was. Everyone was talking about.
Well, yeah, and Iraq, just out of the blue, or at least that's the general public thought, it was out of the blue, an invasion of Kuwait, and George H.W. Bush was president, right?
Yeah, and I remember him saying, "Hey, we're going to draw a line in the sand." Yeah, so he came right out of the chute and said, "That's not gonna stand."
Well, and they must have been thinking we were just gonna sit back and not do anything.
You know, and I don't know what he was thinking, but obviously the guy proved to be pretty crazy.
Yeah. All right. And so, when that happened, where were you in your training?
Oh shoot, that was 1990. I think we just kicked off basic training, and I think within, you know, I think they invaded Kuwait before I actually went to basic training, if I remember right.
That's a long time ago. It's hard to believe 23 years ago.
Yeah.
Does it seem like that?
Yeah, no, it doesn't, actually. But I do remember when I got out of basic training in January, and I got my first deployment over in Germany. I was stationed in Germany. I can remember flying from America to Germany, and in the air, we started the air invasion, the initial air and missile invasion of Iraq. And I remember the pilot announcing that while we were in the air, and I remember landing in Frankfurt, Germany. And I landed in my Class A uniforms, and at the time, Frankfurt, Germany was the terrorist capital of the world. I mean, that's just where that was the hub of terrorist activity at that time. And I can remember a couple American agents coming up to me and the people I was traveling with in their Class A uniforms and saying, "Hey, you guys need to get out of these uniforms right now." And they led us away to a place where we could change out of our uniforms. And then we jumped in some vehicles and headed off and they drove us to the Air Force Base right there in Frankfurt, which I think is Rhein-Main Air Force Base. And then actually at that time, that's where everything was that was a big station where a lot of people would go from the United States to Rhein-Main Air Force Base, and they get processed there, and then they'd be flown into Kuwait. Actually, they'd be flown into Saudi Arabia at that time, because that's where we were staging American troops.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on the men and women who serve our country in the military is brought to you by Morris Roofing, Marion County Auto Body, DeVore Homes, Darnell Towing Service, and Iowa Realty. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety at KNIAKRLS.com in the radio audio media player and catch up on In-Depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Hearthstone, Van Haften Racing and Otley, Midtown Tire, Pella Printing, and Jeremy Dingaman Concrete.
I continued my conversation about his time in the Army with Craig Ford.
So you were in the air, and you heard that it was the start of the air war.
Yeah, the pilot announced that, hey, we started the initial air war with cruise missiles, and I think they, you know, cruise missiles and bomber flights.
And that was the first war America really got to watch on TV from home.
So I hear.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch any of it.
Well, it was the way it was portrayed in the media, it was this surgical stuff happening. We were seeing bombs going down chimneys and stuff like that.
I ended up in Germany, and then when I got put into a unit. In the unit I was a combat engineer. We trained in bridge explosives. We trained in demolition. And we trained in building bridges, and our task was to cross the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers. And we actually loaded up all of our equipment, and it was sent to the theater, the Middle East. And actually, we were probably within days of getting on planes and flying to Saudi Arabia to meet up with our equipment. And the ground war was over. I mean,
it was over.
So we actually stopped right in the middle of our. They call it what's called a POM, prepare for overseas movement. They, you know, you fill out your will, you fill out your paperwork, and they give you all. I mean, I bet I couldn't count the number of shots that I was given before I would, you know, go into that theater. But then, you know, I think that war was over within 24 to 48 hours, and they just said, nope, you're not going.
Okay, so what were your feelings then?
You know, gosh, 18 years old, so long ago. You know, I know everyone was gung-ho and prepared to go. I think there's a little bit of fear there. You know, the fear of the unknown. You know, we knew that we were going to have to be towards the front for what our mission was, you know, to cross rivers that all the bridges had already been blown up on. You know, you just prepare to do what you got to do at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so I guess the military was preparing for a longer assault, right? But did they anticipate that it was going to be over so quick?
You know, I don't think so. I think this is the first war where they had such powerful guided air weapons. I think General Powell summed it up best, where they broke the battlefield up into grids, and they literally just took out strikes, and that just had such a devastating effect on the combat forces. You know, they didn't have a supply round, they didn't have food, they didn't have water, they didn't have munitions. All their big weapons were blown up. The air war in that situation was awesome, and by the time that the ground forces went in, the Iraqis had no will to fight, and it was a surrender fest.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on the men and women who serve our country in the military is brought to you in part by Steenhoek Appraisals, Dutch Meadows, Culver's and Pella, Vandenbroek Concrete, and Janssen's Decorating and Kitchens. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you'd like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Marion County Rural Water, Winfield Funeral Home, Back in the Day Lounge in Pleasantville, the Knoxville Recreation Center, The Next Chapter, and South Central Iowa Solid Waste Agency. Enjoy the program.
I continued my conversation about his time in the Army with Craig Ford.
Did you ever get to Iraq?
No. Nope. Germany's as close as I got.
As you got. Okay, and so then what happened in your career?
At that point, there was a change in presidents. Went from Bush to Clinton, and one of the things Clinton did was he wanted to make a smaller government, and how he did that is that they shrank the military by a wide margin, and my unit that was in Germany was disbanded, and I ended up going to Fort Hood, Texas, where I was part of the 13th COSCOM, and I was in Fort Hood, Texas for, gosh, probably a year, year and a half, and then I got out of the Army and went to college.
I see. All right, and so let's talk a little bit more about your time in Germany. What was that like?
Oh, Germany, it's training, lots and lots of training. We were a bridge company, and that's what we did. We maintained our equipment, which were big 5-ton trucks, Doosanoff trucks and Humvees, and big bridge bays, and we got very good at building bridges very fast. We could literally, we could put a bridge to cross a river together in just a few minutes, which is kind of remarkable because, about 10 trucks pull up to a river where there's no crossing. We drop in a few boats and some bridge bays, and we're crossing traffic within, 3, 4, 5 minutes, which is kind of a remarkable feat. But that was our capability.
And it's a temporary bridge. You couldn't leave it sit there for a long time.
You could. We've actually teamed up with other companies, and we've actually built a bridge from one end of the Rhine River to the other. And we've actually I can remember closing that river off to boat traffic and barges, and literally crossing an entire division over the Rhine River. Those bridges can, depending on fuel and stuff, could literally stay there for days.
Okay, but no contemporary applications for like rural areas of the country today or anything?
Well, that particular technology wouldn't be good for, rural areas. But, one of the bridges we did build, early on in my career was what's called the Bailey Bridge, which was good for smaller gullies and river crossings. And actually those Bailey bridges, you could put one together in probably a half an hour, maybe an hour. And I know that some of those bridges found their way into Africa, and they would build these temporary bridges, and then they just weld them together and just leave them there when America was done with them. So
what kinds of skills did you need? Did you need like an engineer's skills, mathematical, or did you?
Yeah, there's a lot of math involved. There's a lot of skill sets in planning. Getting that much equipment. First of all, you gotta make sure your equipment's in good condition, and then you're gonna, depending on where you're building this bridge at, you might have to drive 200, 300, 400, 500, 1,000 miles to get to where you're gonna put this bridge together, and you gotta show up with everything you need, people-wise and equipment-wise, to put the bridge together, and you gotta put the bridge in the right place, and then you also have to coordinate with other forces on who you're gonna be crossing, and we were combat arms, so we were obviously prepared for combat along the way, because usually if